Well, it's a wonderful thing to come around the Word of God and to come to church to have the fellowship of believers, because that's the place where the Holy Ghost can especially move and use his people. And that's what we're looking at today. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. Jesus told his disciples to go and to be witnesses for him, to preach the gospel, to teach it to nations. And he didn't say that they were abandoned. We today have not been abandoned by God. And it's a very important idea to know that just because Jesus left does not mean that we are alone. So we'll look at Matthew chapter 28, starting from verse 19. And it says there, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That's a commission to the whole church to go and teach, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now in verse 20 there, he's telling us Christians to teach people, to observe. And what are we observing? What are we telling people to observe? All things whatsoever I've commanded you means we have the Word of God to look at and to follow, that is, to carry out. And he says, "And lo, I am with you always." And that means that just because Jesus Christ in his body ascended up and left, doesn't mean that he's left us alone. But how is he present today? Well, we know it's by the Holy Ghost. And so if that's true and he's with us, and it says always, then that means that right now the Spirit of God is with us. And you know, that means that if he's with us always, then no matter what we're doing in our life, whether we're sleeping at night time or going to work or doing things, the Holy Ghost is there. God is with us. He hasn't abandoned us. And that means as we step out and do things for him, and as we come to church and we do things in line at and with church, such as actual ministry things, you know, for example, you might be handing out the leaflets or flyers for an outreach, or you could be doing things specifically talking to people outside of church about Christianity. I'm talking about those kind of ministry things. Well, we know that the Holy Ghost is there to help us to do anything like that at all. And even as we just live our normal life and we're praying and reading the Bible, coming to church, and all that we do, the Lord God, he has not abandoned his people. So he's with us. And so we need to be conscious that he is with us and that he's looking and seeing what we're doing. He should be in our lives and we should be looking to him to direct our paths and to listen to him. So that's very important for us to be aware of. And as we think about this, then we know that we're not just coming to church just for ourselves or just because we're going to meet some people there, but because it's the place where God is especially able to work. Let's also look in Luke chapter 12 and verses 11 and 12. Luke 12, 11 and 12, Jesus is talking about that sometimes we're going to be a witness to people, going to be able to speak to people about the truth. Starting verse 11, it says, "And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." So we are witnesses for the Lord, and one thing he's telling us right there is we can speak and be talking to people, and it can be, and it should be, that it's the Holy Ghost, you know, streaming in to our hearts things to say. And not to worry about that. You know, sometimes people, they try and come up with all these things they're going to say or do or this or that, but we should be relying on him because he hasn't left us and he's right there with us. And this is showing us that he's able to speak into our hearts. The Holy Ghost is God speaking into our hearts. So it's not just God the Father sitting on a throne far, far away in heaven, totally removed from the planet Earth, and Jesus Christ went up to heaven and he's far, far away in heaven today, waiting to come back, and then we're alone on earth. But that's not right, because God is also here with us right now. The Holy Ghost is here right now, and that's God with all his power. God the Holy Ghost is here on earth with us, and that means both individually as believers he's with us and in us, but also when we come together as a church, that's a place where the Holy Ghost, you know, where congregations come together, it's a place where the Holy Ghost can move more especially, because now believers can be ministering one to another, and the ministering of the Holy Ghost can be there. And here is an opportunity time where people speak as a witness. They're called, perhaps put on trial or whatever, and the Holy Ghost speaks through them. So he teaches us. He speaks into our hearts and into our minds. We're able to speak eloquently from the Spirit. You know, we speak beyond our own ability, is telling us, it shows us in other verses. We speak not just according to what we might know ourselves, very limited, we might not be very proficient, but we can speak beyond that because it's God and he's able to bring it in, and it's a kind of a special occasion and he's able to do that, and we should be ready for that. And as we're going to be a witness, and we are witnesses to people, we can rely that the Spirit of God is going to help us as well to say the right things to people, and the words aren't just, you know, we're just trying to make up something, but it's the Spirit of God that is able to speak into that person's life through us speaking to them. Let's also look in John chapter 16. Jesus talks and taught a lot in John chapter 13, 14, 15 and 16 and 17 about this area, but we'll look in chapter 16. John 16. Now, this is a whole long sermon recorded in the book of John that Jesus spoke just before his crucifixion. John 16, we'll start from verse 13. It says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he," that's the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, "he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So that's telling us that God is leading and speaking and bringing us to understand. So he's speaking to us. So that tells us the Holy Ghost is a person speaking to us. Do we have a receptive heart ready to hear what he's saying? Because it says there in verse 13, he will guide you into all truth. So notice that he has a guiding ministry. Well, you can't be guided by someone that's not with us. So just to build that up, let's go back up to verse 7. I'll just read verse 7. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away." That's Jesus speaking. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now, that tells us right now that, yes, Jesus Christ departed and went to heaven, as we know. It's called the ascension when he went up. He went to heaven. Yet we are not without God or without help on earth today. And we shouldn't be looking like that we're just, you know, surviving or living an insular life, you know, like living in a box. People did that and do that. They might run off into a monastery. They live their own little life, just like it's me and Spirit of God, tucked away and comfortable. But it's not like that. The Lord is telling us we're living lives in this world to do things in this world, and the Spirit of God is here with us, guiding us into all truth. So that's a help for us in our lives. A help not only to do normal things that we do in our lives, such as, you know, eat food or whatever, but also that we have the Holy Ghost teaching us about the doctrines of God from the Bible, and we have teachers in the church that the Holy Ghost is using, for example, and ministries in Christianity that is using to speak to us. So we have local minister, we have ministries, Christian ministries. So there's all things, and then we have in our own life that we should be receptive, that we are understanding and having a revelation about, oh, this is what the Lord is telling. Why? Because you actually were reading the Bible yourself and had a prayer yourself and are practicing a Christian walk. And so as we do that, we know that it's not just Jesus and God, up the Father up in heaven, and we're here on earth by ourselves, but that the Holy Ghost is actually here with us. And with that, the Word of God is alive to us. It's not just a book of dull writing and, you know, stories or whatever, because maybe that's how people think. They think like a, you know, remember the story Jesus broke the bread and things, and they just think it's a book of stories to tell children in Sunday school, something like that, and it's just story time, and then there's some hard, boring stuff, and that's it, you know, and we can sing some psalms or something. But that's not the way to approach the Bible at all. What we have is the Holy Ghost is bringing illumination or understanding or enlightenment of the Scripture, bringing that it's alive, that we understand it, and that it has meaning, and that we apply that in our lives, and that it's real, and that the Holy Ghost is real, and that the words have power of the Bible, as we see. Verse 14 tells us about what the Holy Ghost is doing. It says, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." So he's revealing the things of Jesus today. See, we don't have to have Jesus here on earth right now to see the things of Jesus. And people have this idea, oh, if just I was alive back in the time of Christ, then he could have come and put his hand on my fevered brow and it would be, you know, he would heal me and we would have blessings and prosperity and everything because Jesus would be right there and nothing could stop us and it would be really good. But they're not understanding that we are today living in a time when God the Holy Ghost is able to be everywhere around the earth with every Christian person, and that's God. It's not like, oh, Jesus, he had all the power to heal and everything like that, and now he's gone away, and now we're just left with, you know, nothing really. No, we have the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is here to guide you in truth, to glorify Jesus. Well, if he's glorifying Jesus, he's going to be doing things in line with what Jesus did, the healings and everything. So we should be believing that. It's today we're living in a time of where his word is revealing the truth, and Jesus' words are written down for us as well, and then the Holy Ghost is making that alive or real, or is joining together that what it says must happen, must come to pass. Well, who's watching over that word to perform it but the Holy Ghost here today? So he's here, and he's here now, and he's with us. In verse 15 it says, "All things," and this is a really big promise, "all things that the Father hath are mine." Okay, so what does the Father have, by the way? He's got a lot of stuff, doesn't he? He's got gold and, you know, just all kinds of power and pretty much just like unlimited resources and everything. Like, he does have unlimited resources. But we see that God, there's nothing impossible with him. So, in other words, he does have everything. "All things that the Father hath are mine." Okay, so that's good. Jesus has got all those things. That's right, because, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. "Therefore said I that he," that's the Holy Ghost, "shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." Does the Holy Ghost have a right to give us and to present to us all, you know, knowledge that we need or power to get wealth or healings or anything like that? Does the Holy Ghost have the right to that? We know the Holy Ghost is God, and we know here Jesus is actually saying it, so we've got the scripture authority on that because he said it and he's bound to his own word. So you know then that the things that you need or the things that are where you need the power of God, and we need the power of God in everything really, even just to keep us alive on earth, then we should be relying that all the time. He's taking of the things of God and showing it to us. Showing it to us isn't just like, here, have a look at this, but you can't have it. And that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about showing it to you, like, in other words, the knowledge and the wisdom is to be given to us, not just like, oh, this is God and he's good, but you're back here in the dark earth, but that he's showing it to us for us to understand, to grab a hold of those things and to walk in them. So that means the Holy Ghost really is alive and well and around right now, and that that is God. And you know, many people today are looking with their own, what we call the carnal eyes, you know, the fleshly eyes. And that means that they're just looking at things they see. It doesn't just mean with their physical eyes, but they're looking with their mind based on what they see. They have a way of looking at the world which is based on just human knowledge. And they're looking and they're thinking, I can't see the Holy Ghost. There is no Holy Ghost, they're thinking. Because they're living after what they see with their eyes and what they make up in their minds. And that's not what the scripture is saying at all, and that's not what is the truth at all. So they'd say, ah, I'm living in reality. And in reality, you know, there is great limitation on man. In reality, they say, no, sickness has to be combated on the very low level of just medical science, and prosperity has to be combated on the very low level of economic theory, and or poverty is combated, and prosperity comes by those same principles. So you have people operating in a, that's called carnality. It's the things of the world. It's mammon, and in itself, those things aren't bad. Like, it's not bad to have, you know, doctors helping people or people helping the poor in the world, giving them bread to eat and whatever. That's not bad in itself. What's bad is doing that without God or doing that as if that's all there is. Now, what we want to do is not only have that little, but to bring that up, because you're looking to God. You're looking and saying, well, the Holy Ghost is here. He's got all the things that Jesus has, and Jesus has all the things that the Father has, and he's here with us. So we should be living in a victorious, overcoming life, because that's what the Holy Ghost is wanting to communicate to people. So it's telling us there's a lot of hardness of heart and darkness, because it's not that the Holy Ghost power is limited, it's that people aren't giving him an opening, obviously. There can't be that, you know, God is all powerful, because people would say, well, if God is really there, he could just twist everything around and make it good again by himself. But there is one thing involved, and that is the human heart and the human will, if people are willingly going to accept that. And so it requires the gospel to be preached and faith to come by hearing. And as that's happening, then people in their lives are going to be receptive to the Holy Ghost, which was there all along. You know, the Holy Ghost was there all along while people were walking in darkness in various countries around the world for hundreds of years. The Holy Ghost was around, but just because they were living in darkness doesn't mean the Holy Ghost wasn't there. Of course he's been around, but we need to be open to him, and that's only through the Christian gospel spreading around the planet Earth that it's opening up lands, people in lands everywhere, and that's what we want to see. We want to see that progress. We don't want to see it go backwards. We want to see it progress. Verse 16 says, a little while and you shall not see me. So are we walking by sight? Are we saying, well, we can't see Jesus, therefore we're just lost? No, we've got the Holy Ghost. But he says there, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. So he goes, he went to the Father, and he's with the Father right now. But are we alone? No, we have the Holy Ghost here with us. And so that's a very good thing for us to grab hold of. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48, and we'll look at verse 17. This is a good verse to learn, actually. Isaiah 48, verse 17. So I recommend this is a verse to grab hold of, to not just put it in your mouth like empty words. Believe. Yes, the Holy Ghost really is here. And this is what he does in verse 17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit and leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Can you see in there is a great breakthrough from bad circumstances? Can you see in there that there's financial prosperity, there's the way to healthy living, a life of health and protection and prosperity. Why? Because he teaches us to profit. And it says there, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. So he is really doing that. And Jesus told us that's what the Holy Ghost does. So this is not just an Old Testament promise. Oh yes, God will teach them in the Old Testament to profit and to lead them by the way that thou shouldest go. But it's a New Testament thing as well, because that's exactly what Jesus said the Holy Ghost has come to do. And so when we come together to church, what do you think we're at church for? Why are we at church? Well, we're at church because the Holy Ghost is leading us to profit, so we must be profiting out of coming to church, and which teacheth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. So we must be learning about, from the Holy Ghost in church, about the way that we should go, not only just the way like, oh, this is the righteous way, do this, but also that's the way to blessing, or this is how to get blessing, and you must realize this, that in the church and in the context of the spiritual gifts, that there is even this leading by the way that thou shouldest go, even to an individual person, or, you know, like a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, like this is what to do, or this is how to go here, or don't go there. And each one of us in our lives can have, where we have in us a knowledge coming up, oh, watch out for this, or don't do this, or go there, do this, go here, do that. And that is the teaching and the guiding and the leading of the Holy Ghost in our hearts, in our lives. That's to help us, and it will help you. And so as we develop in that, we are then prospering, we're profiting. Let's look in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans 14, verse 17 tells us that the kingdom of God has in it, and the operation of the kingdom of God has in it, the workings of the Holy Ghost even now on earth. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. You know, people get caught up in rules and regulations. Get caught up in just an external practice, like that the Holy Ghost is just something on the outside, or the kingdom of God is just, this is the way to behave. No, the kingdom of God is not just about activities on the outside, about, oh, I've got to abstain from, you know, this or do that, but it's from the inward, from the heart. And who's working in the heart but the Holy Ghost? And it says there, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom of God's operations today are internal in the hearts of believers. What's connecting us to the kingdom of God right now is the Holy Ghost. So we are connected to that. We have the righteousness within, the peace within, and the joy of the Holy Ghost within. Why? Because the world around us is not righteous. The world around us is not truly in true peace. And the world around us is not a world of joy, in as you can see in practice, but within, and it is within us, and the world can't take that away from us because it's in us, and it's Holy Ghost born or brought in. It's the Holy Ghost that is working that out with us. So when we come to church and we're meeting up with other righteous, good people who are Christians, then you can see that there can be manifestations then on the outward, because that's what's within. But the kingdom of God isn't an external kingdom set up on earth today. It's within the hearts of believers. So as we come into a place where you've got believers coming together, you should be seeing, yes, there is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost with other believers. So that's a benefit for coming together to come to church, because there is within each of the believers the righteousness and peace and the joy of the Holy Ghost, and that can come out more and more with the other believers as well. So not just by ourselves, I'm living my Christian walk, but coming together with believers, it's about those things, and it's from the Holy Ghost, as we can see. Let's look in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. So one of the major reasons why the Holy Ghost has come, as we know, is for us to be witnesses for the gospel to others, and that's good. That is the motivation of God, because God is love, and love is about getting good things to other people, and the gospel is good. So the charity of God is about us getting and bringing other people into the kingdom of God and doing good. But it tells us in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." And that power isn't just the power to be a witness, but it's a power to live in the spiritual level higher than what you were before by having the Holy Ghost in your life. And people have said, yes, it's a power to be a witness, which is true, it is, but it's really a power not just for the witness of Christ, but it's a power for you to walk as a Christian in the fullness of your walk. That means a power to come up in the level and areas of health and healing, power to come up in the levels of prosperity and good things, and to understand about the good things of God, to have an opening up of good things of the kingdom of God in our lives. It says, "But you shall receive power." It means that man by themselves don't really have spiritual power, really. They don't have power to get into those things very well. But you can see by God, by the Holy Ghost, there is the way, and that is to attach to God's power, come to us. So receiving the Holy Ghost, receiving the baptism of the Spirit, is the opening to this power realm. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Well, that's a person. It's not just an experience, or it's not just a thing that gives you nice feelings. Now, people think sometimes, I've seen it, that they think like, oh, this shaking is the Holy Ghost or whatever, or, you know, this feeling of power is the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is a person, and he's speaking. He's bringing us into a level of knowledge, and he has motives. His motives are to bless others, to bless among the brethren. And you can tell very clearly, because the spiritual gifts all really require that one person blesses the group of people. You know, for example, the gift of prophecy is not just, oh, I'll prophesy and that's benefiting to me, but it's actually, the motive of it is that it will be a benefit to all the people that hear it. And you can tell that's what the motive of the Holy Ghost is to use one of the believers among a group of believers to minister, and that's the operation of charity at work right there, which is to love one another, to minister something good into the hearers of that word of prophecy, for example, as an example. And again, the gift of healing, a gift of healing, of the gifts of healing, is not just for that person themselves. Oh, I can be walking in health myself, I've got this special spiritual gift. No, what was it designed for? It was designed for laying on the hands of the brethren in the church in the first place, because you can see that's what the spiritual gifts are for. Therefore, so there's power there to minister among the brethren good things. Let's also look in the book of Acts chapter 2. We'll start from verse 16. Now, Peter quotes, and we'll finish with this, Peter quotes from the Old Testament that the Holy Ghost has come for a reason, and we'll finish with this passage here, this prophecy. Acts chapter 2, starting from verse 16. This is on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached this. He said, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." So we'll just stop there for a moment. Because what we see there is the outpouring of the Spirit is available for all flesh, meaning for every person. And it's there available. So it's no longer, oh, Jesus had a local ministry in Judea and in around Galilee. It's not a local ministry like, well, I was living in a different country, maybe in Rome or somewhere. Well, Jesus didn't come and preach at Rome, did he? But Now we see the Spirit of God is available for all flesh, for anyone all around the planet Earth at any time can be receiving of things from the Holy Ghost, from the Holy Spirit. That's very good for us to know, because it's saying there's power there. And what's it there for? One of the signs, or fruits, I should say, of that, the fruit of that, is the prophesying. It says there, your sons and your daughters, so your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So it's young people, you know, children, young people coming up, older people, old people. There's prophecy, there's understanding of spiritual things. There's revelation coming. And that's very good, in line with the word of God. Verse 18 says, and on my servants. So when it says all flesh, it's not just coming on all flesh and, like, you know, people living in sin have the Holy Ghost come on them. No, it's not saying that. It's saying it's available for all flesh. It's poured out, but specifically, and on my servants and on my handmaidens. In other words, people who are going to yield to that, yield to the Holy Ghost, yield to God, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Well, there's a lot of unlocking of spiritual truth that we should be expecting. We've been seeing that since Peter and so on were filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, but it didn't stop. And it's still for us today. And it has more relevance for us today, since he said in the last days, wasn't just the time of the Pentecostal outpouring back in the time of Peter and John, but also we've seen a Pentecostal revival in these last decades. And this is for us today, for your young men and children and old men, and of course God's servants and God's handmaidens. He pours out of his Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And verse 19 says, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Has that day come yet? No. Therefore, these outpouring on the servants and on the handmaidens is relevant for us today, because this hasn't happened yet. We haven't seen the great day of the Lord come, which means the outpouring of the Spirit is for us today and is still for us. We should be expecting more. We should expect a greater level of it, outpouring of the Spirit. Verse 21, and we'll close with this one. And it shall come to pass, so it shall come to pass as a result of the outpouring of the Spirit, that is, that it should be made known, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's saying that's the Christian gospel going everywhere all around the world. So then that means that people all around the world will be hearing, well, this is available for you, because it's for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. So that's all you have to do, is call on the name of the Lord. You know, believe the proper gospel. It's not like you have to be born of the children of Abraham to come into it. No, it's available for all. And that's a great blessing, because it's for us here now, here today, and we can expect and know that the Spirit's outpouring is here for us today, even now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are at work, and I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you speak by your Spirit now among the brethren today, we pray.
The Lord says, I am leading you in the way you should go. I am leading you into good things. I'm leading this church into great things.
The Lord says, I am with you. Be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. He is with us. Listen to him and follow him. Draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to us.
Father, we thank you for receptive ears and hearts to hear and receive of your truth, that we might know the riches of the blessings that you've called us into, Lord, and that we will be walking in those things that you've called us to walk in. Thank you for that. In the name of Jesus. Amen.